let's just set a goal for today. For Parshas Shoftim, which we're going to read this Shabbos in Mirtz Hashem, we have the Parsha of Ari Miklot. And I'm going to see if we can use Ari Miklot as a window through which we can get a glimpse at Yemos HaMashiach. So in effect, although the official discussion and title of our Shia today is Ari Miklot, specifically an extra three Ari Miklot, beyond the six that we already have, but another three jacking it up to nine at the end of days at the time of Shia, that's the official title of our Shia. Ari Miklot Liyasid Lava. But in truth, what we're really interested in is getting a bit more of a grasp, perhaps, on Yemos HaMashiach. So let's start with a series of three psukim, two of which you'll see here on the top right. V'im yarchiv Hashem Elokecha es gvulcha. Rashi says that the word im has two meanings. Often it means if, other times it means when, and here it means when. That's why Rashi opens up his discussion here with the word kasher. And Hashem has promised us that He will expand the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. This was a promise that was already given to Avraham Avinu, so that Eretz Yisrael proper is located in the area of seven nations, the Shivas Ha'amamin. But there are another three nations that will be conquered. Kasher Yarchiv Hashem Es Gvulcha. And Rashi already identifies those extra three nations as Kini, Knizi, V'Kadmoni. These are areas, geographic areas, that border on Eretz Yisrael. And the pasuk says, "V'nasan lecha es kol ha'aretz asher diber laseis la'vosecha." Now we've already settled these three nations, these three areas that were promised to our forefathers. And then the Torah says, "Ki tishmar es kol ha'mitzvah zos la'sosa." As part of the reward for fulfilling all the mitzvahs which I have commanded you today, and as a result of our fulfillment of all the mitzvahs and of Avas Hashem, Hashem gives us the expanded area of Eretz Yisrael. And now the Torah commands us, V'yasafta lecha od shalosh arim al shalosh elu. You will now add three cities of refuge to the pre-existing six cities of refuge that are in Eretz Yisrael proper. Now, when we say Eretz Yisrael proper, that also is a bit complicated, because there's Eber HaYarden, and then there's Eretz Yisrael on the other side of the Yarden. Eber HaYarden, as you know, was occupied by 2.5 Shvatim. That's Gad, Reuven, Gad, and Chatzi Shevet Menashe. There were three Ari Miklot that were established in that area called Eber HaYarden. Those were established already by Moshe Rabbeinu. And after Yoshua entered the land, crossed the Yarden and conquered the land, then he established another three cities of refuge. So we're up to six. And then Kasher Nishba, Losesis Eretz, Kini, Knizi, V'Kaman, that's called the Yarchiv. Then you will establish an additional three cities of refuge in those areas called Kini, Knizi, and Kadmoni. Now, at this point, I would have thought that this is Divrei Agada. You know, this is a nice Agadata. I would not have anticipated that the Rambam would codify this in Hilchos Rotzeach as straight halacha. And he incorporates the establishment of these three extra cities of refuge into the mitzvah of Ari Miklot. And he opens up Parches halachadalid with the words Bimei HaMelech HaMashiach. Please emphasize the word Melech, because one of the primary responsibilities of a Melech is to wage war. And in this case, the Melech is the Melech HaMashiach. He will wage war. He will conquer these areas of Kini, Knizi, and Kadmoni. And then, once these areas are conquered by Melech HaMashiach, Mosifim Shalosh Acheres Aleilu Hashesh, we add another three cities to the six that are in Eretz Yisrael proper. Shenemar, and the Rambam quotes our pasuk, V'yasafta lecha od Shalosh Arim al Shalosh Eile. You'll add these three onto the six that you already have.
On the three, not on the six.
I meant to say you add three to the six that are in Eretz Yisrael proper.
No, but the pasuk says shalosh harim al shalosh.
Right. I don't know. Maybe we'll figure out the answer as we go along. But in any event,
literary translation is.
Yeah, I hear.
Top of the three.
Dan, you're asking an excellent question. I don't know the answer to your question, but let's move on, and then hopefully we'll be able to answer your question as we go on. Because right now I don't have an answer to your question, but I don't want to stop the shiur, because so we're adding three to the six.
It could be that the three.
So you do want to answer this question.
Okay.
Well, let's just, again, I don't want to get caught on maybe the three is to the three that it's in Eretz Yisrael proper as opposed to Evar Yarden. That's a technical issue that we'll have to get to, but that's not the main point here. As I said, the main point of today's shiur is to get a glimpse into Yemos HaMashiach. Okay. So the Rambam writes that where are these extra three cities situated? Where are they located? He says, Heichan Mosifan Osam the Arya Kini Aknizi Vakadmoni Shenichnas Avram Avinu Bris Aleim Vadainlo Nichbishu. So Avram Avinu was given a covenant and a divine commitment that there would be a conquering of another three nations. That hasn't happened yet, but that's going to happen under the tutelage, the leadership of Melech HaMashiach. The Aleim, and regarding these three cities, the Torah says, "V'im yarchiv Hashem alkech es gvulcha kasher nishba l'avosecha v'nasan lecha es kol ha'aretz asher diber l'aseis avosecha v'yasaf lecha od shalosh arim al shalosh eil." So the Rambam clearly quotes our psukim in Parsha Shoftim as the source for this mitzvah that'll only come into fruition at the time of Melech HaMashiach after he conquers the other three nations, that in those three nations, in the areas occupied by these three nations, we establish an extra three cities. Now, why is the establishment of another three cities of refuge appropriate for Yemos HaMashiach? So in order to understand the connection between Yemos HaMashiach and the extra three cities, other than the fact that we'll conquer the land that was promised Avraham Avinu at that time, we want to get a little bit of a picture of what the Yemos HaMashiach will be like. And some of you may remember that we did this Ramban about a decade ago when I first came to Clanton Park. And we were learning Ramban on a daily basis, or at least on a weekly basis. And the Ramban in Parshas Nitzavim, to my understanding, is the best insight or the best glimpse that we have in any Rishon of what Yemos HaMashiach are going to be all about. So let's try to read through this Ramban and see if we can get a picture of Yemos HaMashiach. That makes this Ramban very, very, very unique. Okay. Now, I'm going to read the Ramban somewhat quickly. If you can follow it, that's great. If not, you'll follow the English translation of the Ramban. The Pasuk tells us that at the end of days, Umol Hashem Elokecha es levavcha ves levav zarecha lavas Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshcha levad chayecha. And Ramban wants to know, what is this concept called Umol Hashem Elokecha es levavcha? Literally, Hashem will circumscribe your heart. And why is it that after here in Parshas Nitzavim that the Torah speaks about Veshavta El Hashem Elokecha, that we will do tshuva now? Hashem promises Umal Es Levavecha. And in order to understand this, Rabban invokes a sugya in Masechet Shabbos on Kuf Yud Dalid. The Gemara says, "Zeu she'amru zichron levracha bal etar mesayin oso." That if we come in order to purify ourselves, then God will aid us in the process. And the Gemara says the following: that if we start the process of tshuva, Hashem will push us along. Says the Ramban, ki achar shetoshev eila b'cholavavcha, hu yazoroscha, God is going to take us even beyond. And what does that mean, that God will help us to go beyond? And the answer is that we're talking about a kind of purity which Hashem will bring about, that's a total purity of umal Hashem es levavcha. Says the Ramban, v'nirim min aksuvim inyan zesha omar, it seems to me that this is what is apparent from the psukim, and he's going to quote the psukim now as we go along, ki min abriya, that from the time of creation, shall we say the end of creation, ha'isa reshus b'yad adam lasos kirtzono tzedek o resha, man was given freedom of choice. And there's a period of time which the Ramban calls the Zman HaTorah. This is based on the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Tes that divides up the 6,000 years into three periods of time. The first 2,000 years is what's called Tohu Vavohu. The second 2,000 years is called Zman HaTorah. And the last 2,000 years are called Zman HaMashiach Yemos HaMashiach. So we're now in the middle period of time that the Ramban is describing, which is called the Zman HaTorah. And during that period of time, in order that people should have to work very hard and earn their rewards, they were given freedom of choice. They have to choose good, and if they don't choose good, they'll be punished because they opted for the bad. But that's willfully, in other words, on their own will and of their own free will. Fascinating. This whole period of time, which we call the period of Zman HaTorah, which the Ramban identifies as the time of Bechira Chafshis, of freedom, will terminate when we end into Yemos HaMashiach, and then when we enter into that time, HaMashiach Tiyah, Yemos HaMashiach Tiyah, HaBechira Batov Lahem Teva. There won't be any powerful desire to violate the will of God inappropriately, but rather we have the natural tendency towards good. The Ramban assumes that the heart is the seat of desire and emotions, and during the period of 2,000 years of Torah we'll be tempted and we'll have desires for things that are evil, but now we reach into Yemos HaMashiach. In that period of time, Hashem will circumcise our hearts, which means ki achemdo v'taiva orla b'leiv u'mol ha'leiv ha'hu shlo yachmod v'lo yisave. The cravings and the desires that are inappropriate have to be cut off, so to speak. They have to be removed, just like the foreskin is removed in mila. And that will undermine the taiva and the chemda to violate the will of God. And that's what Hashem is promising. We started the process, Hashem is going to complete the process. And here the Ramban compares Yemos HaMashiach to Adam HaRishon Kodem HaChet. Yoshiv HaAdam Bizman Ahu LaAsher HaYom Mikodem HaChet Shal Adam HaRishon Shaya Oseh B'Tivo Masheroi Lasos. It was absolutely natural for man before the sin to do the appropriate actions and fulfill God's will, and he didn't have in mind any sort of desire before the sin to do evil. He could subject all his desires that would normally take him astray, but naturally he did what was right. He did not have a Yetzer Hara the way we have it today. That came into existence after the Chet of Adam HaRishon. K'moshe Pirashti B'Sefer Breishis Ayin Shom. Vizel Mashomra Kosov. here's where the Ramban gets very, very excited. He says that the description of Yemos HaMashiach comes from Yirmiyahu HaNavi. And this is in chapter Lamed Aleph of Yirmiyahu HaNavi. Hine yomim ba'im num Hashem v'karati es beis Yisrael v'es beis Yehuda bris chadosha. And this new bris, which is the post-messianic bris, loka bris asher karati es avosam, it's different than the covenant that I sealed with your forefathers. Ki zos habris, this is all Yirmiyahu HaNavi speaking, ki zos habris asher echos es beis Yisrael achrei hayomim ahem v'al libam echtevena. In other words, I'll place my Torah, Nasati is Torosi b'kirbam, inherent in them, in their very essence, in their very souls, and Alibam Echtevenu, be written, inscribed on their hearts. And what does this mean, says the Ramban? It means the abolition of evil, of an evil inclination. Bitul Yetzer, v'asos halev b'tivo maseu haroi, the lave of the person will go back to its original, pure, pristine, natural state in which it desires to fulfill the will of God. That's Adam HaRishon before the Chet, and that's going to be man after the Bris Chadasha, ultimately when it'll be Nasati as Torasi Bekirbam Halibam Echtevena, and that's called Bitol Yetzer V'asos Halev B'tivo Maisa Haroi. This is all included in the prophecy of Yirmiyahu regarding the end of days. So we're talking about the negation of the evil inclination. And now the Ramban quotes the next pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Lakach omar yomar od, ve'ayisi lachem lelokim, ve'hema yili la'am, ve'lo yilamdu od ishes re'eu v'ishes achiv le'mar de'u es Hashem. There will no longer be a need to teach about God. Why? Because kulam yedu osi, they'll all know me from the smallest or the youngest to the greatest. Because he says that in the old generations before the Mashiach, we know what the pasuk tells us in Bereishis Perek Ches, that man was created with a certain yetzer, which is man's heart that's designed for evil, that's dedicated towards evil. And therefore there's got to be a long, heavy process of education. But that's only during the period of Torah. Ubizmanahu, however, when we get to the time of Yemos HaMashiach, that's a whole different story. Ein tzrichu lelamino, so we don't need this very intense process of education and training. Ella, Yisbatel Yisorim Vizmana Ulagamri, there's no need to teach them because at that time man has abolished completely his evil inclination. And here the Ramban quotes another Nevuah, that of Yechezkel Anovi in Perek Lamed Vav, V'chei Nemar B'Yechezkel V'nasati Lachem Lev Chadash V'ruach Chadash Atein, I will give you, I will endow you with a new heart, a new spirit. This new lave is really an allusion to the natural state of man, of haruach, lachefetz uratzon. Man has a desire, his spirit, to do good, and only to do good. V'zeo masha amru raboseinu zal. And this is what our chachamim meant when they said that Higiu Shonim Ashatomar Ainli Baim Chefetz. Chazal identified this pasuk in Koheles as referring to the Yemos HaMashiach, Shein Bem Lo Zchus V'lo Chova. Right, man doesn't have to work hard to overcome his evil inclination and therefore desire, and therefore to be credited, and he should earn his reward. Ki Bimei HaMashiach Lo yeah ba adam chayfetz, he will have no desire for anything that's improper. Aval yaseh b'tivo amaisa uroi, he'll do everything that's proper. Lefichach ein bem lo zchus v'lo chova, because again, now it's not what you call freedom of choice. where there's a balance between the evil inclination and the good inclination, he says now they don't deserve any punishment, there won't be any need for punishment, no need for, there won't be any deserving of reward. Chefetz means man's freedom of choice, and now at the time of Yemos HaMashiach, man is pure good, and that's his desire to do good. Which you'll see here on number 5, if the mitzvah of adding 3 or a miklat is going to be added at the time of Mashiach, if the Ramban is right that at the time of Mashiach we have no inclination for evil, says this Chassam Sofer, Koshalo Oz Yivula Mavas LeNetzach V'lo Yisa Goy El Goy Cherev, lo yavadu od milchama, v'lavalon gimel ayoros. Why do we have to add 3 extra cities of refuge? And it's beautiful, if some sofer, which you'll see in number 8, he embellishes this question based on the famous Rashi in Parashas Mishpatim. Why is it that somebody gets killed? Bishogeg? Why does it happen? The Pasuk says, Elokim ino liyado, meaning that God was behind the scenes. And he was the one who set it up so that so-and-so should die. Says the Rashi, as we all know, Mashal Amad Dover Dome, it's like, for example, a person killed the Mazid, but there were no Edim, so we couldn't put him to death. Another person murdered someone, Bishogeg, and we couldn't send him to the Yermikl because there were no witnesses. So now there are 2 people who are going around free. One deserves to be killed, to capital punishment. The other deserves at least to go to the Yermikla. So Hashem puts these 2 people together. The one on top of the ladder, or on top of the roof, he's the one who killed someone, Bishogeg, but there were no witnesses. Now they're going to be witnesses, right? Because that's what the Torah is talking about. Yermikla means that he has to go to the Yermikla because there are witnesses that he murdered someone unintentionally. The one who dies, the victim, he was the one who killed someone, B'mezid. And we couldn't put him to death because there were no Edom. Says the Chassam Sofer, if that be the case, the entire parsha of Rotzeach B'shogeg and the necessity for your miklat is predicated on the fact that there's a murder going on here. And now you're telling me that in the future, at the time of Yemos HaMashiach, we're going to expand the land of Israel when we conquer Kini, Knisi, V'Knani, V'Kadmoni. And now we have a need to establish another 3 Ere Miklat. There are more people who are killing. And again, if you're establishing an Ere Miklat, according to Rashi, means that there are people who are killing B'mezid. He says it doesn't make any sense. And he quotes another Ramban. This is the Ramban here in Parsha Shoftim, because we only quoted 2 psukim in that unit. Let's read the 3rd pasuk, which is pasuk Yud in Perek Yutes, and the pasuk says, "V'lo yishafech dam naki b'kerev arzacha." The Torah itself testifies that no guiltless blood will be spilled in your land. Then when our march is the gvulos, which means we can expand the territory of Eretz Yisrael because the Mashiach is going to conquer more lands, then no blood will be spilled illegitimately. And here, if you take a look at the Ramban in Parashat Shoftim, you don't have it on your page right now, but the Ramban quotes a pasuk in Yirmiyahu HaNavi in Paraklamet Beis, and it's a long, long pasuk. I'll read to you the language of the Ramban. He quotes the whole pasuk. It says, "Ke'inyon shenemar b'kabbalah." Kabbalah means in Nach. Here he's referring to Yirmiyahu HaNavi. "V'nasati lehem lev echad v'derech echad liyirosi kol hayamim latov lahem v'livneim achreihem v'karasi lehem bris olam asher lo oshuv me'achreihem leitivi osam v'yes yirosi the fear of me etein bilvavam I'll place into their hearts with bilti sur me'olai, and therefore they will not turn away from me." The Oz, says Ramban, when that will be fulfilled and will reach the state in which your Asi ete belivavam tamid, Oz yichros lahem bris olam v'avdilu shalosh aram elu. Very strange. The Ramban says in one breath, that will reach the point in which Yirasi Eten Bilvavam, and at that moment we're commanded to add three cities of refuge. Says the Chasam Sofer, this is antithetical. He says, the way the Ramban is saying it, Lo Yizku L'Archavas Gvul Ha'amar Kan, which means expanding to the 10 nations, Ad Ki Yikuyam, until the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu would be fulfilled, as Yirasi Eten Bilvavam, Yirasi Eten Bilvavam, L'Bilti Sur Me'olai, Imkein Lo Yitzur Harge Nefesh, there won't ever be a mitzias of Ritzicha B'Shogeg. Why? Because in order to get a Ritzicha B'Shogeg, Rashi says you need a Ritzicha B'Mezin, and certainly there won't be any Ritzicha B'Mezin at the time of the Es Yirasi Eten Bilvavam Lebilti Sur Me'ola. A tremendous paradox. Now, this question was asked about 150 years ago by the Chasam Sofer, but in truth, it was asked 5 centuries ago by the Arizal, and that's your number 9. Says the Arizal, Hine Kasha, She'achar she'yovo Mashiach roi shelo yiu rotzchim, kemo she'kasuv lo yisa goyel goy cherev, v'yech omar v'yasafta od sholosh orim mulvada rishonu. Now the Arizal's answer, which we'll get to in Birz Hashem if we get to it on page 3, is based on Kabbalah. Heavy, heavy Kabbalah. So we'll wait to see if we get to that. I'm hoping the bell will ring before we get to it, because it's very heavy Kabbalah. But we'll get to the Tzam Sofer's answer, and that's a little bit easier. But before we get to the Tzam Sofer, let's take a look at the insights of the Minchas Chinuch. You know, the Minchas Chinuch is a super commentary on the Sefer HaChinuch. And the Chinuch writes that it's a mitzvah to set aside 6 Arei Miklat amongst the 48 Arei Aleviim. So there'll be 6 and 42. And he goes on to tell you that you can check out the Rambam and see the difference between the 6 and the balance, the other 42 cities. Just, I don't want to get caught up in this, but there's a very special power to the Arei Leviim to be Koleid or Rotzeach, but it's not exactly the same power as the 6 Arei Miklat. It has to do with Midas and Shalom Midas. If, let's say, the Rotzeach happens to be in a city of refuge and he doesn't even realize that it is a city of refuge, whether that city will protect him from the Gol Adam Shalom Daito if he doesn't have Da'as. In any event, now that we've established the mitzvah of setting up 6 cities, we have an additional mitzvah, Bimei HaMashiach, he adds Bimei Rav Yomenu, a mitzvah Lahafish Od Sholosh. Now we have to designate another 3 cities, and if you want to know where they're located, check the Rambam, because the Rambam says they're located in the city, in the areas of Kini, Knizi, Vikadmoni, that were promised to Avram Avinu in the Bris. And after we conquer that and fulfill the Bris, as the Pasuk says, V'yim yarchiv lech Hashem alkechas gvulcha, then we will establish those 3 in those areas. He says, the Kesef Mishnah doesn't know where the source of the Rambam is, that Dafka in these 3 nations, that's where we have to set up the 3 additional Arei Miklat. And he says, V'anachnu lo neda, he says, we don't know the source for the Rambam. But the Nirel, in the left column, he says the following. He says that there's a fascinating halacha in the Rambam, the beginning of Hilchas Trumos, that once a Melech B'Yisrael conquers the land of Israel proper, if he expands the boundaries beyond the proper boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, all that becomes sanctified with the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, at the time of Melech HaMashiach, who's going to conquer and subdue all the nations on the face of the earth, the entire earth, every geographic location on the earth, will be endowed with Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam in the 5th parak of Hilchas Melachim says that when a king of Israel, after he conquers Eretz Yisrael, he expands the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, he conquers other lands, those lands have Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. And this is based on a Sifri. So the Melech HaMashiach, we can certainly rely on the fact that he'll do exactly what he has to do. Number 1, he'll first conquer Eretz Yisrael. And after then he'll move out, move on, and he'll expand the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, the Gemara tells us, Asida Eretz Yisrael shetispashek b'chol ha'olam, that ultimately at the time of Melech HaMashiach, the land of Israel will expand to encompass the entire world. Because Melech HaMashiach, after he conquers Eretz Yisrael proper, he will then expand the boundaries until he conquers the entire world. And therefore, the din of Eretz Yisrael with regard to all the kedushos of Eretz Yisrael will now expand and apply to the entire earth. And if that be the case, you and I would say that there's no need to establish any additional cities of refuge. Why? He says, "Vehu gzeres hakosuf ki mitzad asvara lo yitzarchu liari miklat liyosid lavo ki rak sholom v'emes v'tov yeh b'mei hamelech hamakuvah." Makuvah means what? Well, the one we're waiting for, longing for, being the Mashiach, the mayor of Yemenu. Again, he says, and therefore he says, there's a paradox. On the one hand, we're expanding Eretz Yisrael to include the entire earth. The period of time is described as a period of Shalom V'Emes V'Tov. We finally got to Mashiach. The entire earth, all the people that inhabit the earth are subjugated to Melech HaMashiach. But we still have this mitzvah of establishing an additional three Orim Miklat. Gzeras HaKosuv. He says there's no way that we can understand that during a period of Shalom V'Emes V'Tov, we should have to establish Ari Miklat, additional Ari Miklat. And now if you turn to the other side of the page, he says, HaMitzvah Azos, this mitzvah that we're learning in Parashas Mishpatim, to add three cities of refuge after Mashiach comes, and we conquer these lands, is a primary paradigmic example of Gzeres HaKosuv. It undermines the human logic. Because Ari Miklat is antithetical to Yemos HaMashiach. But Gzeres HaKosuv Shiyah Sachin Kol Tisha, that there have to be totally nine cities of refuge. Ach Zeh Nira Detekev Sheyichbosh Kini V'Knizi V'Kadmoni Tia L'Hafrish Hayoros Tem Sheyichbosh Od Medinos Acheros. He says that the first order of preference in terms of conquering the land will be to conquer these lands that border on Eretz Yisrael proper, these three lands, and that's where we're going to immediately have a mitzvah to establish the Ari Miklat. But if you ask me to logically explain why we need Ari Miklat at that time, he says there's nothing more than Gzeres HaKosuv. It's Amarti Ech Kama Vehi Rechoka Mimeni, as Shlomo Melech says with regard to Paraduma. So that the Chasam Sofer's question, which was really preempted by the Ari, has no answer. There's no rational answer according to the Mechaskin. And in fact, the Medrash Rabbah describes the period of time of Yemos HaMashiach in Parshas Vayeschanan, and it says, "Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'olam hazeh al yidei shayyetzer hara," because of the powerful influence of the evil inclination, "matzvi hoya horgim elu v'elu v'mason." It was quite common for people to kill one another. Amol Yosid Lavo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises, he declares, "Oker Yetzahar Mikem," I will undermine the Yetzahara, the Ein Misa Ba'olam. And like other Marishim before the Chet, if we want to use the Ramban's terminology, where man was meant to live immortally, is Bila HaMoves LaNetzach. And if we want to be firm about it, as the Minchas Chinuch would say, "Bimheir of Yomein." So what is going on over here? So I want to share with you a few answers to the question, which the Minchas Chinuch denies that we can answer. It defies any logic. We'll have three basic approaches. One is purely Kabbalistic and is based on Hevel, meaning Hevel who was killed by Cain, and that's the Arizal. But we have an approach in the Chasam Sofer and also in the Maskil David that's a little bit more rational and within our realm of understanding. The Medrash says, as we just saw in Parshas Vayeschanan, "Amol Yosid Lav Ani Oker Yetzahar Mikem V'Ein Misa Ba'olam." And if there's no Misa Ba'olam, why were we commanded to separate three Ari Miklat? And the pasuk says in Bereishis Rabba, you remember that in Parshas Noach it says Shofech Dam Ha'Adam Domi Yishofech Harek Shaharak V'lo Nerak Emosai Nerak, somebody who got away with murder, literally, not just figuratively. When will he be killed? Pirish Kshiyarog Echad B'mezid B'li'edim, a person killed, he committed murder deliberately, but without the witnesses there. Yeharag Li'asid, he will be killed in the future. Wow. Kimo Chen Kshiyarog B'shogeg V'lo Golob O'mazeh Yehgol Li'asid Lo. This is why. He's claiming that there are those people who deserve by punishment, and this is part of the kapara process, to run away and live in the city of refuge. They didn't do so. Li asid lavo, we will be able to do so. Again, he doesn't tell you exactly the mechanics of it, the logistics. Maybe two witnesses will come, maybe Eliyahu HaNavi will come, whatever it is, somehow we'll be able to clarify that so-and-so, who committed murder inadvertently, and never made it to the Yermiklah, now he's going to go to the Yermiklah. Probably he means after Tchias HaMeisid. But take a look at...
This is the Arizal?
No. The Arizal I'm leaving for the end and hoping that we won't get to.
So who's this?
This is the Yad Moshe, which you'll see number 12 on your page, which is the introduction to the Chassam Sofer. He says, Mikomakom Elam Lismoch Alanes. The Ramban's description of the days of Mashiach is called Nes. That's a miraculous, supernatural way of existence. And we have a principle of Ein Somchan Al Nes, that the halacha operates without relying on miracles. And therefore, if we don't rely on miracles, then as we expand the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael at the time of Mashiach, there can be a lot more people. And then if we're not relying on miracles and on the Ramban's, the fulfillment of the divine prophecy and the supernatural state of being at the time of Moshe Mashiach, if we go back to nature, then we're going to need an extra three cities of refuge. So this is one answer, and basically we have two, shall I say, permutations of this answer. Either it means that somebody was guilty of shogeg, of Ritzicha B'Shogeg, but he never made it to the Yermiklah, will give him the opportunity to achieve that Kapara B'Mos HaMashiach. That has to be understood. Or we have another variance that says that even during B'Mos HaMashiach, we have to operate Al Biderech HaTeva and not Al Ein Somchan Al Nes. And although we know, and we have divine promises, that there will be a supernatural kind of experience of man, and man's nefesh and his lave will be totally purified at the time of Mashiach, but nevertheless, the halacha remains halacha, and law remains law. Okay. Now, take a look at the Aruch Laner, which is number 16. The Gemara says that the reason why we need three cities of refuge in Eivar HaYarden, which only represent a fraction, less than a quarter of Klal Yisrael, you have to get 50% of the Ari Miklat, is because there was Shchichi Rotzchim. That even though there was a smaller population, nevertheless, there was more of a common murder situation. They needed more Arid Miklot. Now, if Arid Miklot reflect the probability, it's a statistical probability of Ritzicha, and that's why Eivar HaYarden needed three, then logically there should be no reason why we need Arid Miklot Las in Lava. There won't be a Horeg B'Mezid. So why? I mean, if the numbers of cities of refuge reflects the probability theory, then Loss and Love for sure. Says the Aruch Laner, it's about seven lines down if you have it. V'tzarech lomar came on the Kfar Hoyu l'tzarech Yisharu v'lo yibatlu. Since back in the day there was a tzarech, therefore we don't cancel and negate them. Okay, but that's only good as far as the six that were established. That's not going to answer the mitzvah to establish a new three. He says, Lefimai Damrina B'Psachim, Ula in Masechta Psachim asks a stira between two psukim. One pasuk indicates that in Yemos HaMashiach there will be a young person who will reach the age of 100. And on the other hand, it says Bila Mavis Lenetzach, means that nobody's going to die. Umeshani, and Ula reconciles this apparent contradiction. Habi Yisrael v'habu Masola. That Enochinami amongst Israel, there won't be any death anymore. Loss of love. That's Ubila Hamavis Lenetzach. But amongst the Umas Olam, although they'll be granted longevity, they'll live to a ripe old age of 100, but they will die. Says the Arach Laner, an unbelievable chiddush. He says that Liosid Lavo, now that the population of Eretz Yisrael is going to expand to include the Umas HaOlam, because once the nations of the world are subdued by the Melech HaMashiach, they become, so to speak, swallowed up into Eretz Yisrael. They have Misa. And if they have Misa, if the Malach HaMavis is still active vis-a-vis the Umas HaOlam, and Ubila Mavis Lenetzach is only with regard to Klal Yisrael, therefore with regard to the nations of the world, Kishiyirtzach HaAdam, he will successfully be able to kill somebody, because there is death amongst the nations. Is Vare Yomus Gamu Mosa Mashiach, even during Mosa Mashiach there will be Misa. So basically, the Arach Laner says that this mitzvah is not for the naturalized citizens. You know, let's say if you're born, I don't know, does this work in Canada? If you're born in Canada, you're automatically a citizen? I don't know. In America, but then you could be a naturalized citizen. So he says that the population of the earth at the time of Melech HaMashiach will be divided into two. There'll be the natural-born Jews, and then there'll be the naturalized Jews that join the Jewish nation. They're not included in this great, glorious prophecy of Ubila HaMavis Lenetzach. Therefore, there still will be death, and therefore there could be Ritzicha, and we need the Ari Mikla, not for the Jewish people, but for those who join the Jewish people, those nations of the world. Now, the Maskil of David, his name was Pardo. Have you heard about him? Have you read any of his works? You never learned Tanakh?
Yeah, a little bit.
If you learn Tanakh, then you're familiar with his writings. It's called the Mitzudas David. If you ever learn Tosefta, you're familiar with his writings. That's called the Chazdei David. And he's written an amazing amount of works. One of them is an analysis of Rashi al Torah, and it's called the Maskil of David. So in the Maskil of David, he says that there is a Mandi Omar who says that Ein Bein Uma Olam Azel Yemos HaMashiach El Shibud Malchus Bilvad, that Yemos HaMashiach, this is how the Rambam in fact paskins, will be identical, and the whole nature will be identical to what we know now. The only difference is we won't be subjugated by the Goyim. Then we begin to understand why we'll need extra Ari Mikla. But Lamandi Omar, but according to the other Mandi Omar, this is the Ramban has accepted this opinion, that Yemos HaMashiach is betelim kol klei zayin Yemos HaMashiach. There will be no wars, there will be no killing, there will be no death in Cain. Matzorich le'ari mikla. He says, Yesh lomar, demikomakom l'didei nami tzorich ari miklot li'umos ha'olam da'ayinu l'gerim shi'isvas val Yisrael somuch l'zman ha'gu'ula devadin l'didhu lo'tienu kol osam atzlochos ha'idu, etc., etc. So we have now a school of thought that's made up of two members, the Arach Laner and the Maskil of David. The need for and the possibility of death and therefore murder exists even during Yemos HaMashiach for all those Goyim that are not naturally born as Jews, and they're not included therefore in the promise of the Navi of Ubila HaMavis Lenetzach. They will need Ari Miklat. And the same view appears in the Al-Shech HaKadosh, the Toras Moshe, here in Parsha Shoftim. If you count up about five lines before the end of the paragraph, he says, "Imkein liosid lavok, she is bayra yetzahar lo shayach zeh, there's no possibility of ritzicha b'meizid. Ulai yesh lom adak gerim shen itzvasvim al Yisrael, lo yavolu madrega hi, they won't reach that darga the gerim, of Ubila Hamavas Lanetzach, there will be Misa, and therefore there's a possibility for Tzich. So we have now three of the great Achronim who understand that the mitzvah of setting up three Ari Miklat is because, although in Yemos HaMashiach for the Jewish nation, those who are naturally born Jewish, there will be no death, and therefore no murder. Nevertheless, for the Umos HaOlam, there will be murder, there will be death, and there is a need for the Ari Miklat. And we also mentioned that even amongst the Jewish people, there might be a need for the Ari Miklat, for those who may have killed someone b'shogeg during the period of time in which we live, but they never were prosecuted, they never actually lived, or shall we say, ran to the Ari Miklat. And then we have the Be'er Basadeh. The Be'er Basadeh quotes the Maskil of David and his Kasha as to why B'Yemos HaMashiach, when there won't be any murder, why do we need three Ari Miklat? And he writes on line 5, V'lo yadati mai kusha. I don't even understand, I don't recognize this question. Why? Because when the Pasuk says V'kitasu charbosam, all the Torah is telling us about the B'Yemos HaMashiach that there won't be any wars. Right? They will beat their swords into plowshares. That somebody might slip on a banana peel, fall off a roof, and kill somebody on the bottom. Zulo shamanu. We never heard that there won't be killing b'shogeg. You may have a case in Maskil David that there won't be any killing b'mezid, but we're talking about killing b'shogeg. So now we have two schools of thought. One school of thought says that there will be killing b'shogeg even amongst the Jewish people, and there is a need, there will be death, there is a need for Ari Miklat. And the other opinion says no, amongst the Klal Yisrael, there's no need for Ari Miklat, there's going to be a supernatural period of time, there won't be any death, there won't be any Yetzahara, there won't be any murder, and there's no need for Ari Miklat. The only thing that justifies the Ari Miklat is the expansion of Eretz Yisrael after the conquering of the nations of the world at the hands of the Melech HaMashiach. The Umos HaOlam are subject to death and to murder. They need the Ari Miklat. Now we take a look at the Sam Sofer. The Sam Sofer himself says the following. A really weird kind of pshat, but maybe we'll make some sense out of it together. Very strange pshat. The Gemara tells us that there's a group of people, bless you, that are even greater than the tzaddikim. Who are greater than the tzaddikim? The Bali Tshuva, excellent. Because the makom shebali tshuva omdim ein tzaddikim gemurim yecholim lama. He says, therefore, when a pasuk says in Parashas Nitzavim, "V'shavta Hashem Elokecha," and then it says, "V'tivcha v'hirbecha mi'avosecha," which means that we'll gain good that supersedes the good of our forefathers. He says it's a reference to the Bali Tshuva because it says, "V'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha." That the Bali Tshuva will reach a madrega that's even greater than that of our forefathers. Referring to this group of people, which we call the Bali Tshuva, the Nevi'im say that they will get all these great rewards in the future. And that's what the Ramban means when he describes the supernatural nature of the universe at that time of Yemos HaMashiach. But Parsha Zu, but our Parsha in Shoftim is not addressing the Bali Tshuva, who will, as we said, exceed beyond that of Avosecha, but rather it says Ki Yarchiv, etc. Kasher Nishval Avosecha. It means the promise given to Avosecha on that level of Tzaddikim. That's something that our parasha is focused on. Tzaddikim, who are considered as good as the Avosecha, but not superior, not beyond Avosecha. Ketzad? Ki tishmar v'gomel oleches b'drachav kol hayomim b'lichet. The pasuk here that we read at the very beginning of our discussion describes when we will observe the Torah, follow in its footsteps. V'meila tia tzadik. So the whole parasha revolves around tzadik. V'lo bal tshuva, v'lo tia tov mi'av osecha. So we're going to be exactly, even though it's tzaddikim, functioning with the same challenges that existed bal osecha. And therefore, via safta l'cha gimel arim, you need three extra arim miklat as we expand the territory. I, the Ramban says, and the Nevi'im already before the Ramban had already promised us there's going to be a whole different nature, and there won't be any murder, there won't be any killing, there won't be any death, there won't be any Yetzirah. That's all for tzaddikim gemur. But as far as these promises are concerned, here in our parasha, ki tishmar olechas bedrachov, and will expand the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, those promises are given to the tzaddikim, but not to the Balei Tshuva. These are the tzaddikim who are on the same level as Avosecha, as our forefathers. And just like at the time of our forefathers, there was freedom of choice, and there was death, and there were rewards and punishments, so too in our time, we're going to have to experience, just like Avosecha, those rewards and punishments. And therefore, there is a possibility of death, and there is a possibility of murder, and we need Ari Miklat. Who doesn't need the Ari Miklat? The Balei Tshuva. Because they're on a level that supersedes beyond that of the others. Very weird pshat. It comes out that according to the Chassam Sofer, when we read the Ramban in Parashas Nitzavim, who describes the supernatural nature of Yemos HaMashiach, hey man, let's not jump to any conclusions here. You know, don't take out the seven-piece band and start jumping for joy. Because the Chassam Sofer is claiming that new kind of entity and nature that goes beyond the others, that's singularly designated for the Balei Tshuva. Now I want to study with you Rav Meir Simcha Mitvinsk. Rav Meir Simcha Mitvinsk in the Meshech Chachma, which you'll see is the last source on your page, he's predicated on the Maskil Ledovid in number 22. The Maskil Ledovid says on the fourth line that there are two types of geula, of redemption at the time of Mashiach. There'll be bi'ita and b'achishena. Achishena, which means God says, I will speed it up. That means before the world has really reached its fruition, God, for whatever reason, urgently speeds up the process of geula. And then there's something called bi'ita. Bi'ita means that the process will take its time, you know, step by step until it reaches its fruition. He says that when our pasuk describes the future, it's talking about achishena. Achishena means before the world is really ready for redemption. And if it's premature, then we certainly need Ari Mikla. Take a look at the Meshech Chachma. I think he develops it a little bit clearer. He says, Yeshnei ofani geulos. Ha'achas be'ita, one is described as be'ita. He quotes this from Zechariah Navi, a couple of different psukim in Yeshayahu Navi, and that's called be'ita. Be'ita means at the end of a long process of tshuva, as Ruach HaTumah Avir, God promises that if it's going to be be'ita, He will remove the spirit of corruption. And v'gar zevim keves, and there will never be destruction. And in such a case, there's no need for ir ari mikla, because lo yeh nirtzach b'shogeg. Because shogeg is also a violation. But achas is another category of geula, which is called achishena. And this is described in the Gemara in Sanhedrin as a dar shekula zaka. In such a case, az yeh olam kiminhago noe. So we're going back to fundamentals, Rabosai. Will there be any difference between the essence of nature at the time of Mashiach as opposed to what it is now? We saw many different opinions. Basically, the Chassam Sofer we saw said that it's going to be pretty much the same. We saw the Maskil David quoting the Rambam that Ein Ben Yimos HaMashiach Liyomenu El Shibud Malchus, and therefore the nature of Ben is not going to change. That's called Achishenu. What does Achishenu mean? Achishenu means that we're really not ready for the process of Geula, and God is going to bring it about prematurely. Va'olam yia kibin hago o'nohim. But then there's another vision. A vision that we saw in the prophets about a whole new type of nature and an essence without any death. Says the Meshech Chochma, that reflects the Itar when the entire process will unfold according to the original plan, and that's when the Mashiach will come. That's called the Itar. And all this, my friends, leads us to the Ari Al Pi Kabbalah. But since the bell rang, but if you take a look at number 23, basically, according to the Ari's thesis, the universe needs what he calls tikkun. Now, I would loosely translate this Kabbalistic complex term tikkun as rectification. What are we trying to do tikkun for? So you won't believe it if I tell you that we have to do tikkun for the sin of Hevel. Not the sin of Cain, but the sin of Hevel. And he tells us in number 23, Achdak, he calls Zara Shel Hevel Kula Mischayu Misa. All the offsprings of Hevel really deserve to die. Hevel himself was killed by Cain. Moshe Rabbeinu killed the Mitzri. He was a Gilgul of Cain, so that's how Moshe Rabbeinu took revenge, so to speak, to avenge the death of Hevel and kill Cain. But it was Kodem Zmana. This Mitzri was not yet ready to be killed. Hashem wanted to give the Mitzri a little bit more time, but Moshe Rabbeinu invoked the holy name of God. He calls it Membeis Osios. I think in English it's called Tetragrammaton. But the Chatam is there. Moshe Rabbeinu was guilty of an unintentional murder, the Nischai of Golos. And that's what the Pasuk means, V'samti l'cha makom asher yonus shama. And if you take a look at the Mem of Makom and the Shin of Shama and the Hey of Shama, you have Moshe Rabbeinu's name. So this pasuk is an allusion to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu has to run and flee like a fugitive after he kills the Mitzri. That's Moshe Rabbeinu's golus. Vehevel chotav b'machshav. What was the chet of Hevel? He had a bad machshava. And here I can't read the next few words. I think it says, De Omar Aye Min Adoni. So he made a declaration that he can't find the master of the universe, which is called Aye. And therefore, it says, Aye Hevel Achicha. Do you remember that when Hashem accosts Cain, he says, Aye Hevel Achicha. So it's Hevel who was put to death by Cain, and Hevel deserved to die because of this Aye. Aye Hevel. Meaning Hevel was the one who declared Aye. Meaning I can't find God. So we always assume that Hevel was perfectly guiltless. He was a Tamim Shebetamim. But according to the Arizal, that's not so. Hevel was really, in a sense, an arm of the Ribbono Shel Olam to bring. I'm sorry, Cain was an arm of the Ribbono Shel Olam to bring about the death of Hevel. Now, why are the descendants of Hevel Chayav Misa? That has to do with concepts of Kabbalah. Nischayev who, meaning Hevel, v'chol zarosa Misa, and that's called Kol Demei Achicha. Why does it say Dmei Achicha? It should say Dam Achicha. His Dmei Achicha means Domo V'dam Zaros Zara'ov. V'hinei Tikun Hevel Hu Al Yidei She. What's the next word? Sheharig Hu. Who misale? Okay, this is real heavy Kabbalah. Bibina, binun sha'arim. L'chein soda klibe shal hevel hu bilam. Sheyotza v'nifrad mi Moshe. So the opposite of Moshe Rabbeinu is bilam, and bilam represents the klipa, the negative fallout, so to speak, of hevel. Ukshenerag Bilam, that was a tikkun. But then there was a Gilgal of Bilam's neshama, and he came into Novel HaKarmeli. V'zitza oso nitzos kedusha shebo v'olso besoda bina. So anyone who's chayav misa through the experience of death as a punishment, he has a nitzos of kedusha that was lost. And again, it's hard to talk about a nitzos of kedusha when you talk about Bilam HaRasha, but he had some sort of spark of kedusha. That spark will reappear in an incarnation of souls, in this case, in the soul of Novel HaKarmel. Hevel, again, we just finished saying that Bilam comes from Hevel, and now his soul enters into the body of Novel, and he says that Novel is the same Osios as Hevel. Now that's not exactly so, but he says that a Hey and a Nun are Osios Mischalfos. Okay, that's also Kabbalistic. In any event, the whole process of the universe and all its history is a process of Tikkun for Hevel. And he says, Amuzal, he quotes Chazal, and based on Chazal, he concludes that Adayin lo nisham tikkun hevel. And now he swings back to our parasha in Shoftim, and it says, In Yarchiv Hashem es gvulcha, ki tishmar kol on mitzvah, klomar, ki sheyia machmas schus, if we have the merits, Yachdim HaKeitz, Hashem will bring about the Keitz earlier, premature, before its time, so the Tikkun process of the Zarah Shel Hevel has not yet reached its fruition, but because of Azchus, we prematurely get the redemption of the Keitz. Is then, the Asaftel Chaod Gimel Oren. Now, says the Ariyah, can you answer my original question, why we needed three extra cities? Kidei lahashlim zarosov shel hevel, because there still has not been a complete tikkun process to the offspring of hevel. Ach lo yamusu b'mezid. We've gotten to the point where man is doing better. He's rehabilitated spiritually, and therefore he's not going to be guilty of what? Of intentional murder. Rak b'shogeg. Ki oz yavar ruach tumah min ha'aretz. So there'll be a partial removal of tumah min ha'aretz. Ach yihargu al yidei ones u'b'shogeg mischayu ha'hargim golus l'chein tzarech l'osif od gimel or. So this piece of the Arizal is the introduction to what we saw in both the Maskil Ludovin and the Meshech Chochma, that our parashin Shoftim is talking about b'achishena. Achishena meaning before the whole tikkun process has reached its fruition, and if it's achishena, then through aschus we've been able to remove some of the ruach tumah, and basically the earth still continues to function the way it already did. So let's just summarize a few answers that we have to our question. Number one, the Ramban seems to assume that the Yemos HaMashiach would be a supernatural way in which we live, in which case the Minchas Chinuch says the only way to justify the extra three Ari Miklat is through a Gzeres HaKosuv. We really don't have any clue as to why. And the other approach is to take the Ramban and assume that the Ramban applies to to part of the inhabitants of the world, of the globe, but not to all the inhabitants of the globe. So we're going to split up man into two parts. There are those who will experience all the prophecies and the promises of the Nevi'im on this supernatural level, as the Ramban describes it, with its Bilo Mavis LaNetzach. The other nations of the world, which will join on the bandwagon, jump on the bandwagon and become part of Eretz Yisrael, part of the Jewish people as the extension, the Gerim Shenisfasku, they will still operate according to the laws of nature. Or to split up the world into Yisrael and Umos HaOlam. The Umos HaOlam have no promises. There'll still be death and there'll still be murder. Or to say that in the Umos HaMashiach, if it'll be Achishena, which is the subject of our parsha, then since we haven't reached the state of a complete tikkun for the sins of Hevel, and therefore we haven't really purified ourselves from Hevel, we have a partial purification, there won't be any Misa B'mezid anymore, any Hariga B'mezid, but there'll be Hariga B'shogu. That's more or less what we could say about Yemos HaMashiach and the need to establish three extra Orayim.
How do you know that this refers to Yemos HaMashiach? I missed it.
The Rambam says that when it says Ki Yarchev Hashem Elokecha Es Gvulcha Kasher Nishba Lavosecha, and then it says V'yasafta Lecha Ot Sholosh Arim, the phrase Ki Yarchev is a reference to Melech HaMashiach. Why? How does the Rambam know such a thing? Again, I can't tell you where the source of the Rambam is. V'anachnu Lo Neda. But what the Rambam is saying is that the pshat in the pasuk is that God promised the Avosecha that He would expand the land. And here there are many statements of Chazal that that promise includes the land of Kini, Knizi, and Kadmoni. The Rambam says that's what the pasuk is referring to. Who's going to actually be able to conquer the land of Israel and then expand its boundaries and subdue these other three nations? The Melech HaMashiach.
Mashiach ben Yosef?
Ah, excellent question. I thought that maybe we could differentiate between two Mashiachs. There's Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. So I don't see that explicitly, except by implication in the Shalah HaKadosh. So I don't know if you could stay another 5 minutes, but if you take a look at number 21, the Shalah HaKadosh seems to touch on this differentiation between stage one of Mashiach and stage two of Mashiach. Let's see if I can find it for you. He says the following. He says that Efshal Lomer Bezeki Mashiach, which I think he's referring to Mashiach ben Yosef. I'll try to see if I can substantiate that assumption. Yimshol, he will conquer the earth, miyom ad yom, v'kulam yutakov. He says that nevertheless, kol hatzlachot hagdolot lo yutakev v'biyas hagu'ula, rak behemshech hazman. He says, even though the Mashiach has now dominated over the world and subjugated the world, he's conquered the world, nevertheless, we haven't yet reached the state of Kol Hatzlochos HaGdolos, which I'm assuming, and again I'm going to try to substantiate that, he's referring to the Ramban's description of Olam Shel Yimos HaMashiach. Lo Yu Tekef B'Bias HaGu'ula. In other words, that's not the first stage of redemption. Rak behemshech hazman. And then behemshech hazman, tisraba hadea. Dea means the knowledge of God. The agiu, he says, will reach the milo of kosnos or. Do you remember that Hashem in Bereishis creates for Adam and Chava kosnos or? You remember that? How do you spell the word or? with an ayin. But Chazal say in Bereishis Rabba that although it's with an ayin, it should also be read with an aleph, and it's referring to the supernal, eternal light of Mashiach. The Oz, at the second stage, which is more of an intellectual or spiritual stage, Tisbatel HaKlipa Mikol V'Chol, there won't be any klipa, there won't be any evil, we will not need to bring karbanos. And he quotes sources here in the next paragraph that a karban osham or a karban chatos will be batel at the time of the third Beis HaMikdash. And he goes into a discussion here. He says, Yechezkel, of course, had a vision of the future Beis HaMikdash. He mentions there chatos v'yashamos. And yet the Midrash says, Liyosid lovis batlu akol karbonos. Okay, with the exception of Karban Tamid, that's something else. So he says the answer is that Yechezkel, when he describes chatos v'yashamos in the Beis HaShlishi, he's talking about the first stage number one. And within the context of stage number one, there will be a need for chatos v'hashamos. We haven't yet gotten to stage number two, which he describes as hatzlochos hagedolos v'tisrava adea b'Yisrael, the kusnas ar. So we're not yet ready for kusnas ar. That's the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi of Yechezkel, and there we will be bringing chatos v'hashamos. The Medrash, on the other hand, is talking about a later period of time when Tumas Mes will no longer exist, and the pasuk in Yeshayo, I know, will come to its fruition. Ubilal amavis lanetzach. Oh, here it is! I finally found it. Then, and this is what I was looking for. I couldn't find it. Al kein nira lefaresh kol zem edaber bizman Mashiach ben Yosef v'avtochos hagedolos hein bizman Mashiach. Mashiach ben David. Oh, beautiful. There are two stages of Mashiach. There's Yemos HaMashiach ben Yosef and Yemos HaMashiach ben David. And there's a fundamentally essential difference between the two. Mashiach ben Yosef will conquer the world. That's the power. That's the military might. We'll subjugate the entire world. We'll begin a process of purification. But we're not yet ready for that tzlochos hagdolos, for that metaphysical, supernatural hanhagas ha'olam of the Ramban. That's going to come later on, kishetisrava hadeya, with kusnas or, v'tisbatel haklipa mikol v'chol. That's going to be Mashiach ben David, and at that point, it's going to be ubila amavas lanetzach. So why do we need the three Arei Miklat in those three nations? That's for the period between Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. If you accept it,
there is no kasha, there is no shiur. There is no kasha. If it's Mashiach ben Yosef, in our parsha, then it's passion of the land will lead three more Rahalit Niklat.
And that's what the Rambam.
We still the shogeg and everything.
That's what the Rambam means when he says in Hilchos Rotzeach Perek Ches, we started with the Rambam, Vimei HaMashiach Mosif in Shalosh Acheros. Which Mashiach is he referring to according to the Shalom? Mashiach ben Yosef. And during Mashiach ben Yosef, Olam Kimin Hago Noe. And there's no new, you know, function or anhago or rules that
so, you know. Now I'm comparing this solution of our Kash to Mashiach, right? With going through the Rashi, that if there is no murder, that it will become Beshoge because they can't cancel one another. I mean, it looks really like this compared to this very simple expression. It's all happens in Mashiach ben Yosef and Gamar.
Well, I'm not sure. Do you mean the Rashi on Hashem Inu Yeliado and Mishpatim?
That's
the guy on top of the ladder and the guy on the bottom?
Right, that's how we made the connection between Yetzicha and Shoge. Because otherwise we didn't have a person. Why do we need the Arimiklati? Because we don't have Shoge. No, we won't have Shoge. Because there's no connection with Reza.
Right, but keep in mind,
that's fine.
The only point I want to make here, technical point, your comment is appropriate for the Chasam Sofer. It's not appropriate for Rashi. Rashi himself is explaining, why does Hashem allow this situation to happen, Chas v'Shalom, that somebody be killed, b'shogeg? And the answer is written in three words in the Pasuk, Hashem ino liyado. Why was Hashem ino liyado? Why did he deserve to die? So then Rashi has this whole fantastical mashal akadmoni to explain why the guy in the bottom had to die, because he really deserves to die, and why the guy in the top has to go to the Yoram Mikla.
We do that further to explain.
So that's where the Chasam Sofer. So the Chasam Sofer said, he said that since Liyasid Lama, there won't be any death, and there won't be any murder. So based on Rashi, there'll never be a need for Ari Mikla, Bimosa Mashiach. It's very strange and paradoxical that the Torah should command us to establish three Ari Mikla. Now that we have the Shalom, and the Mashiach that we're talking about is Mashiach ben Yosef, and Olam Kibin Hago Noem, which means that we're not ready for this supernatural, you know, no death and no killing and so forth and so on.
We know that there will be a Netzicha, but how do we know there will be no death?
Well, that's a Pasuk in Yeshayahu HaNavi.
No death?
Right. Let me read the Pasuk to you. The Pasuk says, Bila Hamoves LaNetzach, God will conquer death forever. And if you look at number 11, that was the Medrash Rabbah in Vaschana that we quoted. He says, "Lasid lavo ein misa ba'olam." Can you take a look at the end of number 11, David?
No question. Is there a parallel between Mashiach and Yosef and Achishena, or
not? Let me think about that. Achishena means that we're not.
Do the same sort of thing or not?
Wait, give me a second, David. Your mathematical mind is a lot faster than mine. I'm a lot slower. Just give me a second. If you hold like the masculine David and the Meshech Chachma, that the reason why the world keeps going according to its nature and nothing essentially changes, and therefore we need the Ari Miklat, even though Mashiach comes, the answer is because it's Achishena. And as the Ari would have said, we didn't yet fulfill the Tikkun. So now what you're saying, David, is that could be Mashiach ben Yosef. Just one second. I hear what you're saying. It's a brilliant chap. Personally, I disagree with you. I think that even if it would be Be'ita, it would still be in a two-stage process of Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. What do I mean? Even if it's Be'ita, even if the ultimate redemption will have to come about in a divine plan after we really reach fruition and we finish all the Tikkun process and it'll be Be'ita, nevertheless, the process itself will have two parts to it. One will be what I call a military campaign, and the other will be a spiritual campaign. But you're right. I think you made an excellent point here, and that is that there's a parallel here between Mashiach ben Yosef at stage one, Mashiach ben David at stage two, and Achishena and Ve'ita. The Achishena really means, as the Shalom describes Mashiach ben Yosef, an early stage of Geula, where the Mashiach has conquered the world, but really we still haven't gotten rid of all the powers of Klipa and Tuma. That, in a sense, is very similar to Achishena. But what we're saying now, according to this, is that you can have both Achishena and Ve'ita. First we're going to have Achishena, and then we'll have Be'ita. And what's Be'ita? Be'ita is when we'll have Molar, it's Deus Hashem, there'll be a full Das, there'll be Atzlochus Gedolos, there'll be Ubila Mamesla Netzach, there will be no killing, there will be no murder of any sort, and at that point, we don't have any need for the Ari Mikl. All right, Yesh Koyach, Rav Osa. That was a lot of fun. Okay. Yeah, right here in the same place. Just that.
I'm not going to be here.
that you won't be here, but I mean I'll be here. So it'll be. So you'll do me a favor if you can tune in like maybe 5 minutes earlier, so I know you know I don't have that headache on my head.
What, on Skype?
On Skype.
Okay.
This is Skype. So if you can do the same thing like we did 2 days ago.
Yeah. All right.
Okay then. And that'll be at 8:30, but if you can tune in at 8:25, which will be 1:25 on your clock.
It's busy, in which case I can't, but I'll hopefully be able to.
Oh, no, the Nafkamina, here's the Nafkamina, David. You see, what I do is, unless I'm using this computer, if I'm giving a shear, I close down the computer. Why? Because it sort of like takes up, you know. So look, I'll tell you what, we'll make a deal. I'll wait for you until, let's say, 8:35, and if you don't tune in by then I'll...
All right, sure.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right,